Hey, can I talk to you guys just real quick about something? Because sometimes we sing a song like, pardon me, I'm going to move furniture while I talk. But sometimes we sing a song like that. We're singing, man, your goodness is running after me. You know, we're busting out on that song. And sometimes, y'all, sometimes I think like, I mean, those words that we're singing like that all my life you've been faithful, you know, and then when we're singing that you're a way maker and a miracle worker, like we're confessing these things together in song. And sometimes I feel like that maybe our brains and our hearts and our emotions are kind of detached from the words that we're saying. And I just think, now look, I get it, right? Because we're coming into a room full of people and sometimes you're like, man, I'm just not going to, you know, but I see some of you guys driving around shallow water, and I see you with your radio turned up, and you're like, you know, you're a little chicken fried. You know what I'm talking about? You're at the top of your lungs. Somebody out here is driving down the road, and they're singing, "Yeah, I'm free." You know, I'm free. I mean, you're singing some Tom Petty till your guts want to shake. You know what I mean? Like, I know that happens. You know, and there's a few people out here who are like Bon Jovi, "Live It on a Prayer." You know what I mean? I know you're singing it at the top of your lungs, right? I am, okay? So, but let me just say, like those songs are so great, and I love those songs, and I love to sing them and belt them out. But man, what about a song that's talking about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of our Lord and our Creator, the unchanging love of God? Should we not be laying everything out on the line when we're singing to our Creator? I'm just saying. And look, I get it, because we're in a room full of people, and you're like, well, I don't want that person over there to hear me sing, right? It's one thing when I'm in my car and I'm singing because no one can hear me in there, you know? But let me tell you something. The only person that it really matters who's hearing you sing at all or not is the Lord our God, you know? And I just want to tell you straight up, I don't care if you're the worst singer in the world. Will you please come, when we're singing about the goodness of God, will you belt that out? And if it's off pitch, we will be fine, okay? We'll be fine with that. Let's celebrate together the goodness of God. Is that okay for us to do that together? Man, every time I sing that song, I'm just moved by the goodness of God. That's not even what I'm talking about today. I'm going to pause right there because we can't get into that today. We're about to start a new series, and we're going to be focusing on Jesus' disciples. At one point come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus responds, he says, okay, pray like this. And he responds with what we know as the model prayer. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to begin everything, because the next 5 weeks we're looking at this model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be digging into it and discovering the truths that God has for us there. But let's start out this week and every week this week, let's start out by just saying the prayer together. How about that? Okay, and focusing on that together. So stand with me, because this is the word of the Lord. Stand with me, and the words are going to be up here on the screen. This is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's the version that we're doing, so it may feel a little different, all right? But read these words along with me, and let's pray this prayer together, okay? Are you ready? Here we go. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, you can be seated. So this week we're beginning a brand new series. And I'm super excited about the opportunity that you and I have to dig into this, because we're talking about something here. We're talking about something here that I think a lot of us struggle with. So it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. It's where that passage of scripture we just read together is found. And it's within this broader passage of scripture that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And so in the book of Matthew, Matthew kind of compiles a lot of Jesus' teachings into one long sermon. And so for those of you who are here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, you know that preacher at First Shallow Water, he preaches way too long. Y'all, I mean, this sermon is way longer than anything I've ever preached, okay? So just, you know, I promise you, Jesus did it longer than me, okay? I'm just saying that. So, but in this passage, Jesus talks about all kinds of things, right? But in the midst of this passage, this Sermon on the Mount, he pauses to talk a little bit about prayer, okay? And in particular, he wants to say, there's a lot of you folks that are doing it wrong, okay? He calls people out, and this passage of scripture says, you guys aren't doing it right, okay? Now, the main people that he's talking to when he says you're not doing it right are particularly those ones who were the super religious, particularly those ones who thought that they were doing prayer the best. Those were the ones that Jesus was like, you guys are all messed up about prayer. You don't even understand what it's about. And so Jesus, when he gets into this model prayer, that he really wants to refocus, to kind of turn around the attitude that people had toward prayer in the audience to whom he was speaking. And I think he wants to do the same thing for you and I today. And let me say this, okay? I want to pause because I know there's some people here today, and maybe you didn't grow up in church, okay? And maybe you're not even sure how you feel about Jesus, okay? Or maybe you're joining us on the live stream, and church has not been your jam, okay? And you're not sure how you feel about Jesus. You wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You're kind of trying to figure this whole God thing out, right? If that's you, before we do anything else, I just want to say thank you so much for being here today. Thank you so much for joining us on the live stream. Like we have been praying for you and dreaming about what God might do in your life today. We've been praying all week long that God would speak to you and that God would speak to us. And so thank you so much for being here today. And I know what you're thinking. If that's where you're from, you're like, oh man, if I'd have known this sermon was going to be about prayer, I never would have come today, right? That whole thing is weird, right? I don't understand any of that. So let me just say, please bear with me, okay? Because I really believe that the Lord has something to share with you today. If you have no relationship with Christ at all, and if you're not sure what you think about Christianity or faith or religion, I believe the Lord wants to say something to you today that I think is going to surprise you, okay? So bear with me. All right, one other thing. Has anybody have, and I really feel like I'm talking mainly to the ladies in the room today. Any of you ladies ever been on a date with a guy? Like, I mean, for some of us, that was a while ago, so we need to think back and remember, okay? But have any of you ladies ever been on a date with the guy, and the whole time that you were on the date with the guy, the whole time maybe you went to dinner or whatever, the whole time you're on the date with the guy is talking about himself the entire time. Anybody ever have that experience where, you know, just like, you know, the whole time he's telling you about the job that he has and the car that he drives and how much he can bench press. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? How many times he goes to the gym, right? And every now and then, you know, like he raises his hand for the waiter. He's like, waiter, waiter. And then he's like, you know, flexing as he comes down so you can see the, you know, anybody ever had that? Don't raise your hand because he may be sitting next to you, but anybody have that experience, right, where you the whole time you're talking to this other person, right, they're talking mainly about themselves, and that's not really a conversation, is it? That's not really, like most of the time, you leave a situation like that, and the guy is like, that was the best date ever, right? And the girl is like, I'm never going out with that guy again, right? Anybody ever have that experience? And I know that some of us have, and there's even some of us fellas maybe that have had that experience before, but I'm going to tell you about the time I went on a date with Amy Miles. Now, she may have a different take on this conversation than me, okay? But we went to Norita's Cold Water Cattle Company. Our first date, we drove to Coleman, Texas from Brownwood, 30 miles away, and we went to Norita's Cold Water Cattle Company. I can barely say that, right? And we had some steak, okay? It was good. We talked the whole way there. We sat down at dinner. We talked the whole time that we were there. And then we got in the car. We drove the whole way back. And then we sat in front of my little trailer house where I was living in college. We talked some more. And I'm telling you, when I dropped Amy off after that date, here's what I thought. I thought, you know what? I don't know if that's the girl I'm going to marry. But whoever I marry is going to be somebody a lot like Amy. That's what I thought. We had a meaningful conversation that night. And it changed everything about the course and the direction of my life. And some of you know what that's like too, right? When you meet somebody and you're talking to them and it's just like, and you start to hear their story and you start to learn what they're about and you can just feel everything inside of you just waking up and coming alive. And you're like, man, this person is awesome, right? I mean, any of you out there who've had a conversation with me already feel that way, right? I know that's how you feel. So, but you know what that's like. So meaningful conversations are really important. And guys, I think what Jesus is talking to us here about, when he's trying to describe prayer to us, he's trying to reimagine the discussion around prayer as a conversation between us and God. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you don't know anything about prayer and this is all weirding you out a little bit, I need you to understand that whatever your thoughts were or your beliefs were about prayer to begin with, before you walked in here this morning, where prayer is supposed to be is an opportunity for us to commune with God. So listen, what is the goal of a meaningful conversation. If you're going to have a meaningful conversation with somebody, what's your goal, right? Well, I'm going to tell you. Here, there are two goals for meaningful conversation. One thing is to get to know the other person. You're having a meaningful conversation with them because you want to know more about them, right? You can't have a meaningful conversation with somebody if the whole time you're trying to get them to be impressed with you, right? That doesn't work. But if you're having a conversation with somebody where you really want to learn about them, you really want to know about them, you really want to draw close to them, right? That is a meaningful conversation. That's the first goal. But the second goal, and this is a little harder, especially for some of us fellas, the second goal is to be known by the other person. When you're having a meaningful conversation, you're having that conversation so that you can reveal important things about yourself to the other person. And when I say important things, I'm not talking about what kind of house I live in, or car I drive, or how much time it takes for me to do my hair every day. For me, it's not very long. But I'm really wanting them to know about my heart. Here's what's going on in my life. Here's what my dreams are. Here's what my plans are for the future. Right? I want to know you. I want to be known. That's what a meaningful conversation is. And that's what prayer is supposed to be for us. An opportunity to get to know the Lord of hosts, y'all. And an opportunity for us to admit who we are, our deepest longings and desires, to the Lord of hosts. To know and to be known. Okay, so what are the characteristics of a meaningful conversation? If I'm going to have a meaningful conversation, what has to be in place in order for that to happen? Well, two things. The first one is humility. I can't have a meaningful conversation with somebody if I am at the center of the orbit of my own life, right? If the only thing I'm thinking about is myself. I can't have a meaningful relationship with somebody if that's where I am, all right? I have to be humble enough to care about knowing someone else, right? I have to be humble and I have to be honest. And fellas, let me say this, because some of us, if you're like me, I was married for 15 years before I really understood this. There is no such thing as intimacy without vulnerability. And there's some husbands and some fathers sitting in this room, and you may have been married a long time, but you don't have intimacy with your spouse because you don't really tell them. You don't really tell them what you're afraid of. You don't really tell them those deep, dark places inside of you where you've been hurt and wounded in the past. You're spending all of your energy trying to prove to your spouse that you've got it together and that you're strong and that you're a man. And when we do that, the only thing that we're doing, we're not impressing anybody. We're not making our wives feel better about us or respect us more. The only thing we're doing is robbing them of intimacy with ourselves. We can't be intimate with someone if we're not allowing them to know us. And that's just me being real. The only reason I can talk to you about that is because I failed miserably at it for most of my adult life. And I don't want you to do that same thing. So that's what we have to bring. If we're going to have a meaningful relationship with God, and that's what all this is about, then we have to be humble. We have to be honest. And so when Jesus' disciples come to him and they say, hey, teach us how to pray, right? Jesus responds to that. He wants to teach them. This is a normal question. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard that this is a normal question for a disciple to ask his rabbi, right? Teach us to pray. Because a rabbi's job, once a disciple came to the rabbi, the disciple had memorized the first five books of the Bible. Did you know that? If they were accepted by a rabbi to be taught, they had memorized word for word the first five books of the Bible. Okay, and so the rabbi's job was like, okay, now that you know this Torah, now that you know this scripture, I want to teach you how to live it. And so one of the things he would teach him is, how do you pray? How do you talk to God? Right? It's a normal question. And so Jesus takes this, and the first thing he does is he puts the focus squarely on God. And that's important, y'all, for us to hear, because for many of us, our prayer life consists of this. It consists of, thank you, God, for this food, right? And God, I have this big problem I need you to handle, right? That's what our prayer life looks like. And we're not focused when we're praying at all on God. We're really focused on us, on what's going on in our lives, on the crises that we're facing. But Jesus starts out by focusing on God. And that's important for us to do. It's important for us to hear. So here are the things that we need to know in the model prayer. Jesus focuses everything. The first part of this prayer focuses it on the Lord and focuses it on the character of God. So here are the things that we have to acknowledge about God in order to commune with God. A few things that we need to know about God if we're going to be in relationship with God. And for those of you out there who are wondering what Christianity is about, that's what it's about. It's not about religion. It's not about following a list of rules. It's not about doing, you know, going through a series of rituals, right? That is, it's not about how to live your life better. It's not a self-help program. Christianity is about a relationship with the God of the universe. And if you want to have that this morning, if you'd like to know about that this morning, the first thing we have to do is understand the character of God. And here's a few things that you need to know about God. So Jesus opens up his prayer and he says, "Our Father." Our Father. The first thing we've got to know about God is that God is our Father. Now, when Jesus is praying this prayer, those of us who know about Jesus, right, we would expect for Jesus to call God his Father, right? Because that's who Jesus is, right? We would expect for Jesus to refer to God as his Father, but that's not what he says. He doesn't say my Father. He says our Father. And it's important for you to understand that the way that we're supposed to believe and understand about God is that God is our loving Father. The Apostle Paul actually references this a couple of times. One time in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says. And the words are going to be up here on the screen so you can reflect on it. Listen to this. He writes, "When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law." Gosh, we could stop right there and preach a whole sermon, but I promise I'm not going to do it. So moving on. "So that we might," listen, "receive adoptions as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God." This is a new development, y'all. In the Old Testament, people wouldn't even say the name of God. In Judaism, they won't even say the name of God because God was so reverenced as holy, they wouldn't even speak his name. So not only is Jesus saying that we can approach the throne of grace, we can approach God with confidence. He's saying God is our Father. It's a new development, and Paul is taking it a step further. Do you know why in English the word for father, the familial term for father is daddy? Do you know why that is? Because when a baby is little, they'll say certain consonants and they'll repeat it over and over and over again. And one of the easiest little consonants for them to say, little phrases for them to say is da. They'll say da, 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 da. The reason why I am a daddy is so that I could say, when my children said da, 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 I could say, look, she said my name first. Look, that's why it's called daddy. Right? I mean, mama's pretty easy to say too. Mama, 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 right? That's pretty easy to say too. But daddy's way easier. That's why I'm a daddy, right? I needed the bragging rights. So in Jesus' culture, it's Abba, 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 right? Because it's so easy, even for tiny little babies, to call out the name of their father. That's how Paul says we're supposed to refer to him. I mean, we're way beyond. We can't even whisper the name of God. God is your loving Father. We're supposed to call him Daddy. That's a scandalously familiar way to refer to God. And we're heirs of his. That's what Jesus came to do because of Christ. Listen, because of Christ, we've been adopted into God's own family. God has given us his name. He has placed his name on us. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be part of the family of God, to be his son, to be his daughter, to have a loving father. And look, as soon as I say this, I know there are people in this room, and this whole concept is tough for you because you've not had a loving father. You've not had a father who really deeply cared about you and encouraged you and empowered you. That's not been your experience. But that's who our Lord wants to be in your life. My daddy wants to be your daddy. Some good news. In Romans, he talks about it again. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes about it again. Listen to this. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. Wow, there's another sermon. I'm not going to preach it. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit, listen, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we're His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. And there's another sermon that I'm not going to preach today, later, right? But listen, the very Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has been given to us, and that Spirit joins with our spirit. Can I tell you another story? I am thankful. Last week was Father's Day, and I am thankful for my dad, Gary Miles. I met my dad when I was in the second grade, okay? And that may sound a little weird, but that's how it happened. I met him in the second grade. My mom was single, 4 kids. I was the oldest one. And almost from the first moment that I met Gary Miles, very early on, I knew that he was going to be my dad. I probably knew before he did, if I'm being honest. And when I was in the 6th grade, my dad adopted me. He has been steadfast presence in my life for almost as long as I can remember. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I bear his name. That my name is Brad Miles. Now look, I have a great relationship with my natural father. I have a great relationship with him. I love him. And I'm so thankful that God has given me that relationship. But I need to tell you something. Very early on in my relationship with Gary Miles, my spirit joined with his spirit to affirm that I was his son. He chose me. He adopted me into his family. He gave me his name. That's the most beautiful expression of the grace of God that I've ever experienced. There's some of you out there who know exactly what that feels like because you've been adopted too. You know what it's like when someone looks at you and loves you and chooses you and gives you their name. Your spirit joins with their spirit to affirm that you're their son and you're their daughter. Listen, whatever you've heard about Christianity, I need for you to hear me say, that is what it means to be a Christian. To be adopted into the heart of God. So when we speak to God, we speak as we would to a loving father. Because that's who he is. Okay, Brad. I mean, that sounds good. What do you mean by that? Can you unpack that a little bit for me? All right, that's good talk. But how do I do it? Okay, let me tell you. So what do I mean? Here's what that means. If we're going to speak to God as we would to a loving father, the first thing is we have to come to him with confidence. We come to him with confidence. Now, look, Some of us who may have had an experience where we did not have a loving father, right? Coming to our father with confidence is something we have not done. Coming to our father was something that we did with great fear, right? Because we didn't know how he was going to react. And in fact, if we could not come to our father, that's what we would do. We would circumvent father completely and we would go to mom, right? Maybe that's how some of us have lived our lives, right? But when you have a father that loves you and you're confident in your father's love, right? You know that he loves you. You know that he accepts you. Then you come into his presence with joy and with confidence, right? You're not afraid. You're not ashamed. You come running into the presence of your father because you know that he loves you. And if we're going to speak to God as we would to a loving father, we come to him with confidence. We don't have to know the right words, right? We don't have to have ourselves all cleaned up. We don't have to have our lives figured out. We come into his presence with confidence because we already know how he feels about us. He's already given us his name. We come, if we're going to speak to God as a loving father, then we come to him with honesty. We're not hiding anything from a father who loves us. Now, if it's a father who doesn't love us, if we're not secure in his love, then we've got to pretend. We've got to hide. We've got to pretend like we're somebody else and we're around him because we don't want him to figure us out. But not a father who, we know how our father feels about us. A father who loves us, we come into his presence with honesty because we know. We can tell him anything and he's still going to love us. We can share with a father who loves us. We can share with him anything because we already know how he feels about us. He's already given us his name. And lastly, we come to him with our desires. I don't know about you, but my kids have no problem coming to me and telling me what they want. None whatsoever, right? They have no problem skipping into the room. Hey, Dad, I'd like a new iPhone, right? Hey, Dad, I'd like some money to go do this or that. Hey, Dad, I need more gas in my car, right? Can you change the oil? I mean, they have no problems telling me what they need, no problems telling me what they want. Dad, I really need some new shorts for camp because I got to look good at camp. I mean, they have no problems telling me what they want, none at all. And I want to think that that's because they know that I love them. They can tell me whatever they want, and they feel free for me to say, no, I'm sorry, you can't have that. And then they can storm off to their room, slam the door, whatever, right? But they have no problems coming to me and telling me their desires. And as a loving father, you know what? I want them. I want to hear. I want to hear from my kids what they want. I love. I delight in giving them the things that they want. I love it. It nothing makes me happier than to be able to give my kids something and be like, oh, Dad, I've been wanting this so bad. And some of you dads out there, you know what I'm talking about, right? Guys, if God is our loving father, he wants for us to tell him what we want. And some of us, we've not had that experience with a loving father, so we don't understand that we can come to God and we can share our desires with him, even when those seem stupid or trivial. And we think God doesn't care about that. He's the God of the universe. He's busy overseeing like everything orbiting around everything, right? He doesn't need to hear that I need, you know, a new pair of shoes or, right, or that I'd really like a new car because this one's falling apart. Or he doesn't want to hear that, I'd really like to meet Mr. Wright or Miss Wright. I mean, he doesn't care about that. Yes, he does. He's a good father. Yes, he wants to heal. Yes, he wants to hear that you want to be healed of sickness in your life. Yes, he wants to hear that you would love to have a baby. Yes, he wants to hear the desires of your heart because he loves you. Nothing makes him happier than giving you the desires of your heart. He's a good father. He's our father. Jesus prayed, our Father in heaven. The next thing that we got to know about God is that God is not like us. Okay, that statement, our Father in heaven, it's not a location statement. He's not God. Jesus is not saying our Father located way up there in heaven. It's like saying the King is on his throne. It's a statement of position, not location. And so what he's saying is that our Father is enthroned in the heavens. Here is a, kind of a summary of what he's saying from Psalm chapter 99, verses 1-5. This is the kind of thing that he's referring to. In Psalm 99, the psalmist says, the Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He's enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth quake. Yahweh is great in Zion. He's exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your name, your great and awe-inspiring name. He is holy. The mighty King loves justice. You've established fairness. You've administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord your God. Bow in worship at his footstool. He is holy. Bow at his footstool. That's what Jesus is talking about. Placing ourselves beneath the feet of God, understanding the majesty and the glory of God, and bowing low before him. One time I got to go to Indonesia on a mission trip. It was amazing. And we spent a part of our time in Indonesia on the island of Bali, which is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my life. But you know what's interesting about Bali? In Bali, did you know this? There are no two-story buildings on the entire island of Bali. Did you know that? Everything has to be one level. And also, do you know there are no overpasses either? There's no places where like the road where you're driving over a bridge and other people are driving below you. That never happens in Bali. In fact, it's almost against the law. You can't do it anywhere in Bali. The reason is because in that culture, it is super offensive for a person to be passing over your head, right? Because they're saying to you, when they pass over your head, they're saying to you, I'm over you. I have authority over you. You are at my feet, right? And so they don't build any two-story buildings because all of the people on the first floor would just be mad all the time. They'd be offended all the time. Those people up there think they're better than me, right? Clearly, because they're practicing clogging on their kitchen floor, you know what I mean? And so they don't have any two-story buildings, none whatsoever. And we've kind of lost that concept, but the truth is in ancient culture, in the ancient Near East, that was truth. The king sat at a throne, and then he had a stool where his feet rested, and when a person came before him, it was important that that person's face was lower than his feet, than the king's feet. You place yourself below the feet of the king. And sometimes I think we forget that God is majestic and powerful. There's so many great things about living in shallow water in the panhandle. One of the things is that you can walk outside and you can watch a storm coming from like 50 miles away, right? You can see it coming, you know. The sky here is like 180 degrees of sky. I love it. Some of you farmers, you ever go out into your field sometimes in the middle of the night and just look up at the stars, billions of stars. That last series that we talked about, count the stars, you know. Sometimes in this part of the world, you look at the stars and it stuns you into silence. You can't even say anything because the vast expanse of the cosmos is just arrayed in front of your eyes. You're seeing these twinkles of light that have traveled billions of years to hit your eyeball. You can't even talk. It takes your breath away. That's what it's like when we stand in the presence of God. He's our Father, but he's also not like us. He's our Father in heaven. So when we talk to God, we should remember our position before him. Okay, Brad, what does it mean? What does that mean to remember our position before God? Well, let me tell you, okay? First, it means we come to him with humility. We understand that he is God and that we are not, right? And so we come to him with complete humility. The second thing it means is we come to him seeking his wisdom, right? Sometimes we come to God with our plans and we just want him to sign off on them, right? We just want for him to approve our plans or our dreams or our desires for our life. But that's not how it works if God is majestic and holy and over us and we're placing ourselves at his feet. We're bringing our plans to him and we're saying, you can have these. You do what you want to do. I want your wisdom. I want you to speak to me. I want you to lead me. And the last thing it means is that we come to him, and this is tough for us, we come to him admitting our failure. I don't know about you, but I'm not good at admitting my failure. Fortunately, I don't have to do it that often, but I'm not really good. I just want to say that Amy laughed louder than all of you at that. I just want to point that out. But I'm not good at it, y'all. I'm not good at saying I was wrong. But if I'm going to place myself before the Lord, if I'm going to place myself under his feet, right, then I have to be able to say, Lord, I really messed up here. I also need to say sometimes, Lord, I need you to show me where I messed up, right? Because sometimes I'm not even aware. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. God is our Father. God is not like us. And God is holy. Holy, that's a church word, isn't it? But that's like a $5 church word, you know? What does that even mean? What does it mean for something to be holy? Well, the word holy actually means sanctified. It means set apart. It means purified for use in worship. And so when we're saying that God is holy, right, what we're saying is that God is the actual source of all sanctification, of all holiness, of all purification. He's the source of all of that, right? And so his name, if we're going to honor his name, we set apart his name. We set it apart as holy, right? As sanctified, as purified for worship. That's what it means when we say that God is holy. He's the definition of holy. He's the source of holy. And so this passage right here, your name be honored as holy, that's a passage of devotion. What Jesus is teaching us to pray, he's teaching us to pray, God, I want to live a life that honors your name as holy. I want to honor your name as holy. And so we're saying to God that what we want is, what we want is to express value to God. We want to treasure God above all of the things. That's what it means to be set apart for us to set him apart. And so we're saying that we treasure you. We want to honor you as holy. And one of my favorite passages that kind of gets at the heart of this idea is in Psalm 42. I love this passage. In Psalm 42, verse 1 through 2, it says, some of you, as soon as I start reading this, you're going to sing the song that you learned when you were a kid, okay? As a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come home and appear before God? When can I appear before him? Man, what if we were like that? Like, what if we were like, when can I appear before the Lord? I can't wait. I can't wait for the next time I get to appear before the Lord. What if we were like that? But guys, that's what it means to honor God's name as holy. I mean, that deer, the desire for the deer for water, it's primeval. Like when a deer is thirsty, like the deer's like, I'm going to get me some water, right? Get out of my way, right? And everything else is forgotten when a deer is super thirsty. They're going to do whatever it takes to go get some water, even if it means risking being killed by a predator, right? Even if they can see and smell the guy in the deer blind over there, they're still going to go get them some water because when they're thirsty, they got to drink, right? And that's what if you and I had a primeval need, like we're compelled, we couldn't help ourselves. We can't wait to get before the Lord. And nothing else in our lives matter because we've got to have God. We've got to have him. And it's just burning inside of us that we've got to be in his presence. And friends, that's what Jesus is talking about here. That we would honor God's name as holy, that we would value his name above all of the things, that we'd be compelled, driven to come into the presence of God. So when we talk to God, we should commit our lives to honoring him. Okay, what does that mean, right? How do I do that? Well, first, come to him seeking to be purified. If he's the source of holiness, and if we're going to honor his name as holy, then we should come to him asking him to make us holy. God, would you cleanse me of all unrighteousness? Would you wash me whiter than snow? Would you forgive me for the ways that I failed you? We come to him seeking purification. But also, and listen, this is harder, come to him in complete submission. Let me just say, some of us, the thing that's keeping us from having a relationship with God right now is we don't surrender to anybody. We're not going to yield our hopes, our plans, our lives, we're not going to yield that to anyone. And I want you to know, if you can have a relationship with God, that's where it's got to start. And lastly, we come to him in a desire to join him in his work. And I'm going to stop with that one right there because we're going to pick that one up next week when we talk about the next section of this prayer. We come to him asking to join him in his work. Okay, now listen to me. There's someone here this morning, and all of this talk about relationship with God is just completely foreign to you. Like, you know about God, you know about church, you know about religion, right? Maybe you've even been to church for a long time before, but no one's ever told you that you could know God, that you could be adopted into God's family, that God wanted to give you his name, That you could have a relationship with him where he speaks to you and you speak to him, right? You've never heard that. And let me just say, if that's where you are this morning, today is your day, because the Lord is about to do something crazy in your life. It's going to be amazing. Here's what I'm asking for you to have the courage to do. If that's you, if today you will say to God, God, I need you. Please forgive me for how I failed you. I surrender all that I am to all that you are. If you be able to say those three things to God this morning, he's going to begin a relationship with you that will change everything about you, even your eternal destiny. And you may not even know that that's what you want, but trust me, that's what you want. And today can be that day. God, I need you. Please forgive me. I surrender all that I am to all that you are. That confession this morning can begin things all brand new for you for the rest of your life. Do you have the courage today to do that? I believe you do. If you pray that prayer this morning, if you pray it, then you need to come and tell me about it, because I want to celebrate with you. We're going to have a party. It's going to be great. But I need you to tell me, and I want to hear what God is doing in your life. Some of us, you know, we've forgotten it. I mean, we knew once upon a time that Jesus was inviting us into his heart, but over the course of our lives, it's become about ritual. It's become about the things we do. It's about showing up on Sunday morning, right? I mean, even for some of us, our lives have gotten so busy that we've neglected relationship with God. And all of us know what it's like to have a friend, right, that suddenly just kind of gets too busy and stops talking to us. You know, we can't get with them. Maybe they're hurt, maybe they're sad, maybe they're going through a difficult time, but they're just distant. And that's hard. And this morning, the God of hosts is saying to you, I miss you. I miss our talks. Can we get back together again sometime, please, soon? So here's what we're going to do. This week, on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, there's going to be a video posted on our Facebook page, a guided prayer time, where we're going to walk through the things that we talked about together in prayer today. I want you to join me at noon on Monday and Wednesday and Friday, or really anytime, because it's on Facebook. You can do it anytime. But I want you to join me. Watch that video. Let's pray through these things together. It's time. It's time for us to return our hearts to God, to live out relationship with him. Would you do that with me this week? Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for your presence here this morning. I know that you're moving and working, reminding us of who you are and how you love us. God, we need that. Thank you for doing that this morning. And God, right now, I pray for folks in this room who have never surrendered their life to you. They don't even know that they can have a relationship with you, that you can be their loving Father. Oh God, I pray that you would show them that truth. I pray that you would make that truth real in their heart. Thank you that they don't even have to understand what it means to receive it today. And give them the courage to say to you, God, I need you. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. And Lord, for those of us who have drifted from you in our relationship with you, for those of you who've suddenly allowed so much of our lives to get between us and you, and we've neglected spending time with you, would you convict us? Would you draw us back to your heart? Would you bring us back into conversation with you? Remind us of who you are and how much you love us. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, listen, friends, I love you. I'm so grateful that I get to be your pastor. I'm so grateful that we get to do life together. And I know that God is moving in your hearts and in your midst as you go out of this place, as the Lord deals with you and speaks to you. Your church family is here to help you. We want to help you. We want to be with you as you work through your relationship with Christ. So let us do that. Talk to us. Tell us how we can pray for you and we can help you. Okay? I want you guys to have a fantastic week. Don't forget all the stuff that's going on. Please be in prayer for our Puerto Rico mission trip. I'm about to bust out of here and get on a plane and meet our folks in Dallas, and we're going to fly to Puerto Rico for a week and help people recover from hurricanes and earthquakes. So please be in prayer for us, and please be in prayer for Children's Camp as they leave on Monday. God is going to draw some children into relationship with Him for the first time this week. This week He's going to do it. And so pray for those kids as they go and they hear the gospel, and many of them surrender their lives to that for the first time. Y'all have a great week. I'll see you right back here next Sunday, as long as American doesn't cancel my flight. Have a great day.